Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our devotional lessons based on the Gospel of John. Again, I want to remind our listeners that the studies we've been doing, the devotional lessons in the Gospel of John, are available on CD. And if you'd like the lessons we've been doing on John or any lessons that you've heard over the Pastor's Study, please just drop me a line at the address you'll be given at the end of the broadcast, and I'll get those right out to you absolutely free. Again, we also have a catalog available of all the lessons, the studies that have been done on the Pastor's Study on the many years we've been on the air, and that's available absolutely free if you just drop me a note and request it. Now, before we get into our lessons today, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the great God that thou art. We thank you for this opportunity to open up thy very words today. We pray for the Holy Spirit of God to be our guide and teacher today, Lord. We pray for the saint of God, the believer today, who's listening, who's trusted Jesus Christ and his shed blood and nothing else, to have all his sins forgiven and secure a home in heaven. We pray for that saint of God, or saints of God today, that these lessons would be an encouragement, strengthen them in the faith and the things of thee, Lord, and help them to grow in knowledge of grace of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for the lost sinner that's listening today, that lost soul that's never trusted Jesus Christ and his shed blood alone to pay for all his or her sins, past, present, and future, and secure them a home in heaven, that this would be the very day that they would believe in their heart that Christ died. He died for their sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. And Father, with the angels in heaven, we'll rejoice over one sinner that repenteth this very day. Father, now we commit this time into thy hand. We pray that you'd have your will in your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's lesson we begin in the Gospel of John, chapter 8. Gospel of John, chapter 8. Let's take our King James Bible and together read those verses. John, chapter 8, verses 39 to 42. And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then say they to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, and neither came I of myself, but he sent me. The Jew said, Abraham is our father. Jesus acknowledged in verse 37 that they were the seed of Abraham by birth and by nature. But in verse 44 of John chapter 8, he told them that they were the children of the devil by action. There was nothing about their life that was like unto Abraham. You see, Abraham believed God, and they were unbelievers. Abraham was just and merciful. They were unjust and murderers. Abraham interceded for Sodom. They shut the kingdom of God against men. There was no characteristic about the Jew that resembled a great friend of God called Abraham. While our Lord spoke directly to the Jew, he said something in verse 42 that we could not overlook nor pass by. Jesus said, If God were your father, ye would love me. He said there is a father and a son relationship that can't deny, that we can't deny. He said the greatest evidence that we do belong to God is that we love him. A person can talk religion, sing religion, act religion, but when he has truly been born again, there is a father and son relationship that is manifest in their life. Let me suggest three things that I believe reveal this. First of all, there is a likeness of a father and son. There is a likeness of a father and son. There is in every son a likeness of his earthly father. He may not look just like him, may not always act just like him, but there are traits of the father that cannot be denied. Usually the only time a mother will acknowledge this is when the kid does something bad or displays a bad temper. While this is true in our natural relationship, it is more so in our spiritual relationship with God. A person that has been born into the family of God and becomes a child of God will have the likeness of the holiness of God. Listen to what Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to 24 says, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Jesus said this, ye know a tree by its fruit. And everyone that is really saved is going to have enough of God in him to be identified. So we see, first of all, there is a likeness of father and son. Second of all, there is a love of father and son. There is a love of father and son. There is a natural love between a father and his son, and between a son and his father. When you see a child that has turned against his own parents, you can be sure he is not natural. The natural is to love. How true this is of those who have been born into the family of God, found a new life, come into a new relationship, and possess a new love. John chapter 14, verse 23, we read this. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. If that son is true, he will love his father and will obey his father's instructions. If a person is really a child of God, his desire to keep as near as possible the words of the Father, and the words of the Father is the Bible. He will keep the words of the Father about faithfulness. The Father said, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. He will keep the words of the Father about love. The Father said we should love one another because he first loved us. And he will keep the words of the Father about witnessing. The Father said, ye are my witnesses. The third thing we want to see is there is a land of father and son. There is a land of father and son. It is a usual thing that wherever dad made his home, the son wanted to live in the same city, enjoying the same atmosphere, being with the same people, and partaking of the same resources. Wherever the son may roam, or to whatever city he may go to, he still refers to a place where he calls home. You see, if a person has truly been born again, he will never consider this old world his home. He will never become very attached to the things of the world. For he knows there is a land fairer than day where the Father dwells and waits his homecoming. In Revelation chapter 21, in verse 3, we read this. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. The person that says they are saved and that heaven is their home, yet they spend all their time trying to lay up treasures on earth, seems not to really believe what the Bible says. Amen. We looked at a father and son relationship. In this same chapter, chapter 8 of the Gospel of John, Jesus made known the difference in being a son or rejecting the Savior. In verse 31 of John chapter 8, Jesus said, he said this, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." In verse 34 of John chapter 8, Jesus said, "Whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin." Before we move on to the next lesson, I ask you this question. Which will it be for you? A son of God, or a slave, or servant of sin? Now, our next lesson takes us to chapter 9. Chapter 9 of the Gospel of John with me. Chapter 9. And verses 24 to 27. Gospel of John, chapter 9, verses 24 and 27 to 27. We read this. "And then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, Give God the praise, and we know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then say they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples?" Just to go out into this world a sinner saved by grace and tell it one time is not sufficient. This world is filled with unbelief and doubt. They want to know over and over again what happened, how it happened, will it last? It is good to know that God has provided in salvation the need to meet the onslaught of this cruel world. Our text is surely an example of the blindness of sin, the power of Jesus to open eyes, and the growth of those who are made to see. A man that was born blind is made to see. But the Bible says the crowd came to him again and again to ask what happened and how it happened. "Then again call they the man that was blind." Take notice that each time they asked this man the question, he had grown a little more and grounded a little more. Let us look at the six steps. Amen. The first step is, the only person he knew was Jesus. The only person he knew was Jesus. In verse 11, John chapter 8, verse 11, we read this. "And he answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight." When the man who was made to see was questioned about what happened, all he knew was that a man named Jesus had made him to see. You see, he was not acquainted with all the doctrinal truths of the virgin birth, all the prophecies of the Old Testament. No, he just knew Jesus. When a person is first saved, that is about all they know. But who of us could ever express that joy we had just knowing him? this thing of wanting to know all the teachings of the Bible before one is saved will keep many a soul out of heaven. Amen. Let's look at the second step. The only promise he knew was the Word. The only promise he knew was the Word. Again, in John chapter 9, we're in John chapter 9, verse 15. Then again, we read this. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon my eyes, and I washed, and do see. The second time the man was asked, his reply was that he was obedient to the word spoken by this man named Jesus. He said that Jesus made the first move by applying the clay, then told him what to do next, and he was obedient to the word. See, he had free will. It was his choice after Jesus had put in the clay in his eyes whether to go and wash. Amen. You see, faith is taking God at his word. Our assurance of the great salvation in the word is in the word of God and not in our feelings or emotions. Amen. It's in the word of God. Doesn't matter what you and I feel or the emotions we go through. What does the Word of God say? That's where we get our assurance. That's where we get our assurance of salvation. We can't lose it. Amen. Thank God for that, because the Word of God says we can't lose it. Listen to what it says in the first epistle of John, in John chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Verse of Scripture that shows us that we have eternal security, amen. Can't lose your salvation, amen. The third step we want to see is the only praise he knew scripturally. The only praise he knew scripturally. In verse 17 of John 9, we read this. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? And he said, he is a prophet. You see, at this point, the Pharisees were angry and were divided about the person of Jesus. Some of them said he was not of God. Some said he had to be because of the miracle. They asked this man who had been made to see, and his answer was scriptural. He said about Jesus that he was a prophet. Though this man didn't know very much, he did know that what Jesus had said in answer to the disciples' question in verse 2 of John 9, he had to be a prophet. It doesn't take a new convert long to find out that the one who is Savior is also prophet, priest, and king. That daily fellowship with him assures us that he, who saved us, has the future all secure for us. We soon come to lean upon his glorious promises and rest in those blessed assurances. Let's turn and look at the fourth step. The only pleasure this man knew was light. The only pleasure he knew was light. Again, we're in the Gospel of John chapter 9, verse 25. We read this. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no. I know not, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. As the Pharisees and others continued to question this new convert, he just couldn't answer all their questions. But one thing he did know, And that was his blindness had been turned into light. You see, this was the one fact that even the fault finders couldn't argue with. They knew him before, and they knew him now. Many times this unbelieving world will keep on troubling the person that has been saved, and sometimes it seems so difficult to find an answer. While a new convert may not find an answer to all the questions of the world, they can always remind them that once they were blind, and now they see. This was the great argument of the Apostle Paul before the governor. He said, you knew what manner of man I was before. Let's look at the fifth step. The only purpose he knew was witnessing. The only purpose he knew was witnessing. In verse 27 of the Gospel of John chapter 9, we read this. He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? The new believer realized the opportunity he had to witness and pleaded with these Pharisees to become one of the disciples of Jesus. After the Pharisees declared they were the disciples of Moses, this new convert asked them how they could know Moses and not know Jesus. He invited them to know Jesus. You see, once a person has been saved, they should immediately become a witness for the Lord. Winning others to Christ is the chief business of every Christian. In John's Gospel, chapter 15, in verse 16, Jesus said this, Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Then we look at the sixth and final step, is the only peace he knew was separation. The only peace he knew was separation. In verse 34 of John's Gospel, chapter 9, we read this. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. This new convert soon learned that this world is no friend of God. And when he tried to win them to Christ, they were offended and cast him out. But when they cast him out, Jesus was there to lift him up and comfort him. Notice what we read in John's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? We are a mature Christian when we realize that our fellowship is not with the world, but with Jesus Christ. When everyone has forsaken us and turned away, Jesus will always be there to comfort us. Notice what the Word of God says about that in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, we read the following. For he hath said, and the he is referring to Jesus Christ, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What a blessed promise we have. Again, We looked at 6 steps. And we saw at each step that this man who had received his sight grew a little bit more and a little bit more. We saw, first of all, how the only person he knew was Jesus. Because in verse 11 of John chapter 9, we read, "And he answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay, anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight." And then we saw, second of all, the only promise this man knew was the word. In verse 15, John chapter 9, we read, "Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, He put clay upon my eyes, I washed, and do see." He was obedient to the words of God, obedient to the words of Jesus Christ. Jesus told him to go wash his eyes in the pool of Siloam, and he went and washed, and he received his sight. Why? Because he believed. He took God at his word. He took Jesus Christ at his word. Then we saw the third step this man took. The only praise he knew, scriptural. In verse 17 of John chapter 9, we read, "They say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? And he said, He is a prophet." You see, it didn't take this man too long to realize who Jesus Christ was. Amen. Not only had he given him his sight, but he was also a prophet. And anyone who is saved not too soon afterwards, is converted, is born again, realize who the Savior really is, a prophet, a priest, and a king. The fourth step this man took was the only pleasure he knew was light. In verse 25, John chapter 9, we read, "And he answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." And then the fifth step we see this man took was the only purpose he knew was witnessing. In verse 27, John chapter 9, we read, "And he answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples?" See, this man as a new believer realized the opportunity he had to witness to these Pharisees. And even though they rejected him, amen, he witnessed to them. You see, once a person is saved, they should immediately become a witness for Jesus Christ. And then we see the only peace he knew was separation. In verse 34 of John chapter 9, we read, "They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sin, dost thou teach us? And they cast him out." Yes, they cast him out, but he had peace because Jesus Christ was there to pick him up. Because we read in verse 35 of John's Gospel, chapter 9, "Jesus heard they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" You see, the world is not a friend of God. The world is not like our message, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It will cast us out, but when we're cast out, Jesus is there, right there with us to pick us up. Amen. Because he said he will never leave us or forsake us. Again and again and again, Christian, it takes growth to combat this evil world. And you will never do much growing until you have fully surrendered all to him. Sin a friend, you like the blind man need Jesus to open your eyes. You can go on in your blindness and suffer the torments of hell, but Jesus stands ready to receive you and open your eyes now. My dear friends, that's all the time we have on the Pastor Study. Today, this is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me today. And my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you. And good day.